Let us pray. All wise and eternal God, we are at the moment that we may feast from your table. You said those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be fed. So we ask you, Father, that you would come now and feed us all that we need, that we would be changed to be more like you. Father, we come against every form of darkness, that you would bring down every wall of separation, that we may enter into a oneness with you, to experience you in a greater way. Take us beyond the veil, that we may have an ear to hear and a heart for your word to reside. Father, your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. Let it come now and cut us. Cut things away from us. Cut carnality out of us, that we would become more like you. And Lord, as I stand here on holy ground, I surrender and I ask you now that you would consecrate me, that I'm fit to be used as a vessel for you. I ask you, Father, as I submit my will, that your will be done. We need you. We have an ear to hear from you. So come now, manifest your presence, that we will hear a word from heaven today. In Jesus' name, amen. Beginning at verse number 3, and we will read the verse through verse 11. And then we'll turn to 1 John, that's right before Revelations, 1 John chapter 5. Beginning at verse 3, and I wrote this very thing to you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow over those from whom I ought to have joy. Having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent. Not to be too severe. This punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, is sufficient for such a man. So that, on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. You ever mess up before and want to be forgiven so bad that it just hurts? Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end, I also wrote, that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. All of this forgiveness has to take place, least Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. There's some deep stuff right here. It's deep. Paul writes, as he is being persecuted, whooped, lied on, beat down, he writes about forgiveness and says how important it is not only that we forgive, because it's not only affecting him, but it's affecting everybody. If one of us hurts, we will all hurt in some way or another. But listen, the breakthrough is the forgiveness. In doing so, we are showing the love of Christ and also freeing us from being pimped by the devil. Because we are aware of his devices. Now turn to 1 John chapter 5. Two verses. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. Amen. It's on the wall. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. How many of you are saved? Say I'm born of God. I've overcome the whole world. All right. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith, what you believe. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. I wanted to remind you that you are an overcomer. We will spend just a few minutes, as Paul writes to the Corinthian church, I believe it is echoing to this church right here and right now. He speaks to us about, the forgiveness that must take place, and then John tells us that we're overcomers. I want you to meditate on this topic as the youth use this phrase so often. Get over it. I don't know what you've gone through, what you're going to go through, or who's come against you, but I will tell you this. Get over it. Somebody start my car. I'm going to need to run up out of here today. I'm not trying to offend you, but I'm trying to help you. The enemy has set a plot for you. Deception is in place. But there's a way for you to escape today. Get over it. Tell your neighbor, get over it. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This passage of text and Paul's writing, He is writing to us, the audience, and as he begins to write, he's talking about some things that has happened and has caused great heartache and anguish. We have gone through, in one time or another, we have gone through some heartache and we have gone through some anguish. I know that I hear the children as I ride with them, giving them a ride from school. They talk about somebody that needs to quit, or somebody is out to lunch, or somebody and just tripping, and they need to. I hear so much going on, and I told my daughter the other day, well, how come it's not you? Why you keep talking about them? And why don't you just get over it? And You know, Dad, what do you mean, get over it? I said, well, I hear you say that all the time. You tell your little brother, get over it. You tell your little sister, get over it. When it fits you, you want them to get over it. But sometimes you need to just take what you say and hear it back to yourself so that when you're well-equipped, when something doesn't go the way that you want it to go, you could just tell yourself, get over it. It is something that is something, some spiritual awareness that if we can really master that, we would have a whole lot of joy and happiness every day of our life. Mastering getting over something is first you have to realize that it's over with. If you understand that you are an overcomer, then anything that has happened to you, it is over with. If you are an overcomer, that means you have overcome whatever has happened. Put your hand over your chest. If your heart is still beating, you all right. Therefore, you do not have to dwell on something that went wrong. You could get over it and everything will be all right. The thing that we are challenged with as coming out of a worldly life into kingdom living is we have some worldly ways about ourselves. A lot of us won't admit it because we think that we are so spiritual, that we are the Christianity. We got it all together, you know. But some of us will admit we are still trying to please God. We are working very hard to come out of these ways. And I'm one that will tell you the truth. I found myself even this week teaching about forgiveness. And I would go and I said to my wife, I said, I wish I knew what caused so-and-so to go through what they went. I wish I knew who did that to them. She said, no, you don't. I said, you're right, I don't. Sometime our mouth will even say some stuff that we don't even really want to know. But systematically, in going through life, we have this tendency to be nosy. Somebody get hurt, instead of us talking about the healer, we're talking about who hurt them. Oh, goodness. So I only want to talk to the people who can be honest to say I still need some deliverance. Because that is the only thing that's going to help you get over it. You're going to have to establish some rules. You can't really get engaged with what's going wrong. You got to stay engaged with who's going right. So then, instead of talking about who did that to you, you should be talking about the healer that healed you. And if he healed you, he can heal them too. Notice that our conversation then shifts from a moment of being nosy to a moment of being a worshiper. Because you are now showing them the ways to Christ and the methods of Christ by saying, I was once jacked up too. And if God helped me, he'll help you too. Instead of... We have so engaged ourselves to find out whose fault it was. You would find that the writer writes here, and the theologians have been commentating on this particular text, and I've heard so many different commentaries on the text trying to find out what Paul is talking about, who hurt Paul that bad. They referred back to First Corinthians chapter 5, and then another theologian said got it all together and said, we just don't know where it's coming from. Somewhere along the way, Paul is talking about somebody hurt him. And the good news is he points out to us it's not important as who did it. He does not even say who hurt him. He just says to forgive him. It doesn't matter who did it, because when you have someone attached to the sin, that means that forgiveness has not taken place. But when you can attach the sin from the person, that person now can be a sinner washed in the blood of Jesus. But as long as you got sin attached to them, then they are still convicted. But you can set them free just by forgiving them. It doesn't matter even who it was, but you can just forgive them. Paul writes this thing, and he says, this stuff is affecting the body of Christ because Satan gets active in confusion. He wants you to talk about what's wrong so he can have a gateway to get in your stuff. Paul writes, and he expresses to us in this letter, he said, but if anyone causes grief, he has not grieved me. But all of us, if anyone has done it, He's affected all of us. But what we do is forgive the person. Listen, he does not say that there wouldn't be consequences, because the church had rules in place where that you would have to be chastised for what you went through. Oh, understand, we all have to be chastised. There are consequences for every action that we do. And the consequences is up to God and not up to us. I noticed something in my son. My son was really trying to master the art of forgiveness, and he teaches me stuff every day. He was going through the potty training stage. And so when he went through the potty training stage, he would get in trouble if he would have an accident, what I called on purpose, which means that he knew what he was supposed to do, but he just chose not to do it. Isn't that just like us? We know what we're supposed to do, but for whatever reason, we just won't do it. Until God continues to work with us, and then all of a sudden we'll find ourselves doing what we didn't want to do because God wanted us to do it even when we didn't know that we were doing it. We just find God operating us instead of us operating God. Armani, he begins to talk to me and have dialogue with me, noting that there is forgiveness coming from a father. So he tells me, he says, Dad, will you forgive me if I have an accident? And me being the loving father would tell him, yes, son, I will forgive you if you will have an accident. He says, okay, Dad. He tests the theory. He did not have an accident. He came to me and said, Dad, I had an accident. Do you forgive me? I said, yes, I forgive you. So I grabbed him and I took off running with him and took him into the restroom, only to find out that he did not have an accident. And I said, why did you tell me you had an accident? And he just put a big smile on his face. He did that a couple of more times, and then he knew that, okay, everything is all right. If I have an accident, my daddy is going to forgive me. So then an accident occurred one day, and he said, Dad, I had an accident. Do you forgive me? I said, come here, son. Yes, I forgive you. I fixed the accident and sent him on his way. He had mastered it so, knowing that forgiveness was vital and it was just a tool of love, that he went to his grandmother's house, and I got a phone call, and she had told him, she said, listen, you need to go to the restroom before you go to sleep. He said, no. She goes, well, if you wet yourself, I'm going to tell your dad. He said, go ahead and tell him. Because I'm going to tell him I had an accident and he's going to forgive me. I'm saying all that to tell you that anyone that ever done anything to you, even though they may have thought they did it on purpose, it was on an accident on their part, because if they would have known that you was a child of the Most High God, if they would have known who your daddy was, they would not have accidentally on purpose done what they did. But see, God wants you to turn the same love that he had for you when he forgave you to turn around and forgive them too. Some of us may need to do like Armani and practice the forgiveness. Paul expresses how important forgiveness is. Children get bullied at school and come home and talk about the bully. And we get mad at the bully. But there's power in teaching your children how to forgive the bully. Do you know that you can teach them forgiveness, and because they forgave them, it could change the whole environment around them? The enemy wants us to hold things against one another, because then we are now doing exactly what the Bible told us not to do. In Ephesians 6, chapter 12, put it on the board, please. It says that this war is, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Say it, I don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Good. I'm glad you said it. Now quit holding stuff against people. If a person makes a mistake, if a person does something wrong to you on purpose, don't wrestle with it. That is what has let the enemy in and start wrecking havoc. You're wondering what's going on over here and what's going on over there, but you let them in the door. When you started fighting a war that wasn't for you to fight anyway, when you fight against another brother or another sister, or if you fight against your wife or you fight against your husband, you fighting against one another. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the principalities, listen, and the forces of darkness of this world. It says against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hope. In other words, we wrestle against demonic spirits. Don't have time to fight with people. Every time you fight with the people, my mama used to say, you're just entertaining the devil. It is a mastering trick of the enemy that if he can keep us fighting with one another, then he can get in behind us and get to our children. And he can get in behind us and get to our relative. He can get in behind us and start wrecking havoc in other areas of our life because we are fighting a war that's really not our fight. Our fight is against demonic spirit. Well, how do you fight them? I go and I praise and I worship my God. When I praise and I worship my God, he inhabits the praises of his people. When I begin to pray and worship God, it changes stuff. The power of forgiveness. We have so much power through one word. Forgive. You got power. But do you want to lose the power? When you lose the power, you lose yourself. As long as you are not forgiving, you are holding yourself in bondage. If you hold yourself in bondage, you take people who are around you into the same bondage. But when you set yourself free, listen, through the gift of forgiveness, how do I forgive something that hurt me so bad? Well, number one, the first thing you're going to have to do, you're going to have to separate what happened to you from the person that God allowed to be used to let it happen. So true forgiveness is you can remember what happened to you, but hold nobody accountable to whatever happened. Oh, man, that's what you're going to have to do. As long as you are holding somebody responsible, you are allowing the enemy to use every tactic. Listen, you are just saying, Satan, come on in and beat up on me. But the moment you say, you know what? God is God of all. And if God, if this happened, I can't let them take the blame for it. I'm going to forgive them and allow whatever has happened to me. Instead of taking me down, I'm going to let God raise me up. And when we begin to allow the power of God unto forgiveness, it will set you free in so many areas of your life. It will bring peace to you that surpasses all understanding. It'll make you have joy when you don't have nothing to be joyful about. You'll just mess around and just start singing to yourself, being happy because you know that the one that you've held in bondage is now free. Jesus, when he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Now, I noted what was happening on the cross. That was in Luke 23, around the 34th verse. He was on the cross, and there was a man on his left and a man on his right. And he was focused on completing what God had assigned him to complete. But there was somebody on the one side of him telling him to do something contrary to the will of God. Isn't it something that when you want to do right, there'll be somebody that'll come around and try to help you to do wrong? Huh? Oh, you need, you're supposed to forgive him and let it go, and you got somebody, oh, don't you let him get away with that. You, please. Study reminding you of what somebody did to you. And so Jesus is up on the cross, and this is going on. He's telling, oh, yeah, you need to do this, Jesus. Why don't you just jump on down from the cross and do this and do that? But see, Jesus was focused. Jesus was so focused that his next words just messed me all up. He said, Father, I hear this joker talking over here, but forgive them. For they know not what they do. Anyone who is vicious, it is not them, it is a spirit that is within them. It is them showing you. Let me get you. You got to get this. Anytime that anybody does anything wrong to you, God has sent them to you so that you would know how to pray for them. If evil is in them, it's up to you to pray it out of them. And you have the power to run it out of them. And your first move has got to be a move of forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stop holding stuff in. Stop holding stuff against folk. And just say, Father, forgive them. If you get God moving into forgiveness, then you can, listen, then you can get over it. The reason why you haven't gotten over that hurt and that pain is because you haven't asked God to forgive them. You are too busy focused on the pain that you're in, so it's hard for you to get over something that's holding you to the ground. In order to get over the fence, you're going to have to go up. And so in order to go over this, you're going to have to go up. Stop being down here with the sinner. You are called to be free from sin. Get above it and get over it. Get over it. Tell your neighbor, get over it. It's over. What's over? Everything. But what happened last night? That's over too. It was last night. I was talking to them at Bible study on Wednesday night. Remember that movie Lion King? When Mufasa's son had ran away because of what the scar had did to him. He was scarred by his past. If you really see the movie, you can see so much in that movie. But God, somebody say, but God. God allowed him to meet two jokers that wouldn't let him stay in his stuff, so they reminded him about being happy. See, that's what you need. You need a couple of friends that won't let you talk about what went wrong. I'm going to have a let's get it right party. I don't want to talk about none of that. That won't get you nowhere. I want to talk about the promises of God that he has over your life, and if he allowed that to happen to you, he has great plan for you. Honey, you could make it through this one. I'm with you all the way. Don't you worry about nothing. We over that stuff. Oh, yeah, I want friends like that in my life. So he sends this deacon by the name of Rafiki. He meets up with the lion and has to lead him back to where God has planned for him. So he teaches him about forgiveness because he had a problem forgiving himself. And some of us may have that same issue. But God says, I've already forgiven you. And you can't even hold yourself in bondage. And so he says, the key to forgiveness is you need to understand that it's in the past. And so he slapped the lion with a stick. And the lion got, hey, what you doing? He said, what you tripping on? That's in the past. That already happened. So what I'm saying is, whatever has happened to you, it doesn't matter if it was 50 years ago or 50 minutes ago. It's in the past. Get over it and stop allowing the enemy to have any dominion in your life. You are set free by the Spirit of God, and you are an overcomer, and it's time for an overcomer to start acting like an overcomer and get over all the nonsense that has been trying to hold them bound. It's time for you to get over it. Just get on over. I'm over it. I'm on the other side. I'm over it. Hallelujah. Over it. I can't talk about it no more. I'm over it. All the Christians always quote Philippians 4:13. I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The question is, are you going to allow him to strengthen you or not? You're going to have to get over some stuff for him for the strength to take place. But what we really need to start focusing on is not 4:13, but 3:14. Forgetting those things which are behind so you can press on for those things which are before. Every time you look back, it just delays you from the destiny that God has planned for you. Stop looking back and keep looking up. If you keep looking up, you can forget about everything. All I'm going to do is think about Jesus. I tell you, when you start thinking about Jesus, all you can do is get happy. When I think about what he's done for me, all I do is get happy. I'm just going to have me a party and have a, get over it party. Y'all want to come to the party? It's time to get over it. Get over what? Get over everything that's not like God. I'm over it. I'm over my past. I'm over everything that comes up to me that's not like God. I'm going to be into God because I'm over it. Paul says, we got to do this because the enemy has been working in your life. Behind you not getting over it. You have given him a VIP pass, all access to get in your stuff and tear it up. But now you've got a word today that's going to run the enemy out of your house. You're going to run them out of your finances. You're going to run them away from your kids. You're going to... The enemy is trembling right now. That joker came in one way, but I see him leaving seven different ways. That joker's got to get up out of here because the people of God have declared they are over it. They are done. I'm tired of being tricked by the enemy. I'm tired of being used by the enemy. I'm going to turn in my past. I am no longer a part of the world. I'm a part of the kingdom, and I'm over it. It's done. It's settled. It's concluded. Everybody that's in agreement, stand up and give God a shout of praise and tell him, I'm over it. It's done. It's over. It's complete. It's done. It's done. It's finished. I'm tired. The cycle is broken. The cycle is broken. It's broken. It's broken. You've been wondering why you kept going through the same thing over and over. The reason why is because you were over it, but you kept staying in it. But now it's broken. You are over it. Hallelujah. Jesus teaches us to forgive. And let me show you what we used to do. We said this way too many times. I forgive, but. I'm not putting your business on the street. It's in the spirit. I forgive, but. Some of you say, I forgive. But I'm not going to forget. I'm going to rebuke that lie. It's not biblical. It's another form of deception. In order to forgive, you're going to have to forget. You're going to have to forget how to do it the world's way and do it God's way. I'm over holding stuff against people. I'm setting them all free. Matter of fact, I've been giving them too much credit. They couldn't have done all that on their own anyway. God had to allow this stuff to happen. Everything that I have to battle with, can't no person do all that. Now you say, now it's separate. Now that I'm not even holding myself responsible. Now I'm just going to forgive. I'm going to let the God loose in me. That God that says love keeps no record of wrong. We gonna listen, we have selective amnesia. We're going to have to select the stuff that we're going to forget. Forget about holding it against them. The ones that have done you wrong are the ones that you need to pray for. They're dependent on you. When you was out doing people wrong, somebody was praying for you. And the only reason that grace found you is because there was a prayer going up for you. And that's why we got to pray for one another. Yeah, but they're saved. Saved people mess up too. You don't believe me? Look in the mirror. You messed up when you got saved. God says, my grace is sufficient. So what is grace? That is God's unmerited favor. The same grace that God gave you, we ought to give one another. Can you forgive them until God clean them up? Because they don't know. They don't know. And listen. You got my car started, y'all? Everything that you've been through, I'm happy. I'm so glad that God let you go through everything you went through. Because if you didn't go through everything you went through, you wouldn't have made it here. I wouldn't have got to see you. And you're a gift to me. I'm glad. Some of you have been hurt by other pastors. Stop holding it against them. The only reason why they hurt you is so that you would run over here. Because he knew when we got here that we would pray for the one that hurt you. Pray for those who despitefully misuse you. Bless those that curse you. They have a blessing on the way. Oh, God. There's something. We got to break the cycle. I found out today that I was in a cycle. I didn't even know. But we got to break it. That's why you got to get the early morning CD. Because, listen, getting the wisdom of God and applying it. You should be asking, God, show me how to forgive today. If this is my last day, show me how to forgive. When we operate in forgiveness, the enemy flees because he cannot survive. Listen, once you've gotten over it, he don't even try to come after you. Because he has enough sense that he knows he can't get to you. And he's mad that you got this word. This is a transforming word. Listen, I don't know what comes up. I don't know what's going to happen this week. But anything comes up, you get yourself in front of that mirror and you tell yourself, I'm over it. I'm over it. And don't you leave that mirror until it takes you over. Where you are over it. Stay right there. Because, listen, the enemy is being put to rest. Because we're in the presence of God. Now you know what it takes to win. It's going to take you getting over and understanding. It hurt, but this hurt is for good. God works through the pain to raise you up. It's us that stay in it. But now you, today, we're declaring freedom and we're going above it. Say, I'm over it. I'm over it. I'm over it. It's done. That ship has sailed. I'll never get tricked again. Not you. Now that you have got this word. They were singing a song earlier. They said, I hear the chains falling. Stuff that had you chained up, gone. Because you're over it. And next time somebody come at you with some foul nonsense stuff, just start listening. Let the chains fall right where they are. And he said, what you doing? I'm over it. I don't fight with you for what? Over it. I'm not going to be mad at them for what? I'm over it. Why are you so happy? You're supposed to be mad. I'm over it. Everybody rest to your feet. There's a time in life that are, the Bible says, the prayers of the righteous availeth much. We've been praying. We've been believing for salvation.